So let's pray, shall we, and ask for God to open his word to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we study your word, that you would open our eyes and open our ears, that we may see and hear Jesus, the living word within the written word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's not often that I've preached in socks before. I mean, I've usually got socks on, but I've usually got my shoes on. I haven't had time to put my shoes back on again since. But I'm almost clothed and in my right mind. And, well, there's a fresh start. Plenty fresh, wasn't it, Rosie? Yay, I brought soap. And did you say that the congregation were a bit far away this morning? I said, oh, you don't do incense here, do you? Sorry about that. A fresh start. We've got absolutely started with that today. That's the second bath I've had this morning. That's pretty good going, even by my standards. But today's a fresh start in all sorts of ways, and I just wanted to take a moment or two to look at some of those. Today's a fresh start because it's that time of year in the church's calendar in Advent as we start the whole year again. Actually, it started last week, but we're not going to tell anybody about that. That's why we've got two candles lit on the Advent wreath. We've got the four Sundays of Advent leading up until Christmas, and it's the beginning of Advent is that time that we have as the start, the kickstart of the year for us in the church's calendar like that. But churches actually have a number of different ways that we celebrate the year like that. There's another one as well, because we sometimes celebrate the church's birthday at Pentecost as well, because there was something revolutionary happened at that when God's Holy Spirit came. So we talk about that as the church's birthday as well. And of course, other churches have each got their own festival of dedication that they have to, and that's like the local church's birthday. And that's one of the other things we're sort of drawing into today and celebrating as well. We're celebrating this church, its foundation, and the fact that the ministry is still going on here 100 or years later. I'd forgotten you were 1881. The church I was vicar of for about 14 years in Sussex was also 1881, so we're twins. There we go. That one's not called the Good Shepherd, though. That one's called St. John's. But at Advent, one of the other things that we do in Advent with that sort of idea of a fresh start as we come into the fresh start of the Advent, the annual liturgical cycle, one of the other things that many people do is, okay, how many of you got an Advent calendar at home? Yeah? Not so many hands. There's some not admitting to the chocolate Advent calendar that you got on the mantelpiece. yes, there are some grown-ups that do. And that whole business of opening the door and seeing what's behind, what surprise awaits us. It's that season of anticipation and looking forward. And that's quite interesting because this week the Pope has actually said, you know what, let's have a year of mercy, he says. And let's, as part of that, have a holy door in our churches that we fling open and say to people, we are open. Now, there's an Advent opening the calendar thing that we could do there, isn't it? And I sometimes wonder, occasionally if I'm on the bus, as I'm going round the Archdeaconry, or occasionally if I'm driving, drive past some of the churches, say, oh, look, there's such and such church. And sometimes they're closed and the lights are off. And I think, ooh, doesn't look like there's much life there. And there is. I mean, I know that because I go to all of them. But actually, there are times when we give the impression that we're locked, the doors are closed, we're barred, nobody can come in. And actually, part of what the Pope was trying to say is, let's do this differently. Let's have doors that we fling wide open and say to people, come in. Come in and meet Jesus. Come in and find mercy. Today is a fresh start for two others as well, particularly for Rosie and for Robin, and the new beginnings that this today means for them. New beginnings, learning what the Christian life is all about and living in it. And it's quite an interesting thing because today we've had the debate that goes on throughout Christendom about should you baptize babies or should you baptize grown-ups? Well, today we've had both. We've had both, and that helps us to understand what baptism is really all about. Because in the early church, as people came to faith, as families and whatnot, adults hearing the good news from about Jesus and saying, yeah, that's the way I want to go. And so the early disciples said, in that case, come and be baptized. So they baptized adults who professed their faith. But then as the families continued to grow, and perhaps a new child was born into the family after the whole family had been baptized, they say, well, the rest of them have been baptized, but what about this little one? Can't they be baptized too? Isn't our faith part of the whole business of faith? We believe that this little one will also grow up to know about Jesus and live out that Christian faith too. So, just before Rosie went into the wet this morning, I said to her, Rosie, that's what I did. I did that as a grown-up as well. I was an adult before I was baptized. My parents, they'd got a Christian faith, but they were of the faith that actually said it's best for them to wait until they're grown up and make their own minds up. But when we had our own children, Kay and I, we decided that actually, no, we wanted our children to be within the church's family from the very beginning. And so although I'd been baptized as an adult, in fact, actually, we chose to have our children baptized as little ones so that they could then be fully members of the church from that early stage. So, is baptizing babies the right thing? Yes. Is baptizing grown-ups the right thing? Yes. They're both right, and it depends on the context, and that's fine. The Church of England does both. Not everybody knows that. They think we only do the little ones. It just isn't the case. The oldest person I baptized back in that other church, the 1881 church, was somebody of 84. He'd started wander along to something that we were doing outside our church on the village green one Holy Week. We put a big cross up there, and he said, what's this all about? And we talked a bit about it. He started coming to the church. He said, I don't know if I've ever been baptized. It was a bit of a question mark in my mum's family. They said she thought that I had been, but she wasn't ever very sure. So I said, so do you want to be sure? And he said, yes. And so we went through baptism and confirmation for him, 84, the oldest one I'd done. So it can be a grown-up, it can be a little one. It's never too late to turn to Jesus and walk in his way. From our reading that we just had, we've had that some of that list of John's Gospel's I am sayings. There are fresh starts going on there too as well. The fresh start of following the Good Shepherd. And I don't just mean this one. I mean, this one's not just a good shepherd, this is a great shepherd. But all of our shepherds within our churches, from time to time, have wobbly days. That's why we pray for them. That's why we pray for our leaders in our churches, for the bishops and the clergy and the people. We pray for them because when we've got people who are our leaders and we expect to follow them, it means that they are a bit more exposed and we watch them a bit more closely and we expect more of them. We expect more of you and me, actually. And so actually that's the reason why it's really important to pray for those who are our leaders in our churches. Leading by example means that we have to have good leaders that can lead by good examples. So pray for our church leaders. Pray for Christopher, our diocesan bishop. Pray for Michael, our area bishop in this area. Pray for me. Pray for the area dean, who's called Jane Kustner, in the parish next door. And pray for your priest here, the other priests that we've got that work in the school just up the road here as well. Loads of people around there, leadership qualities there. We want to pray for good priests for our church. The Good Shepherd, though, is really about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. That's the real one. And actually, following him. Now, that's a wee bit strange, because in our country, most of the time, we tend to think of sheep out there, shepherd, sheepdogs, keeping them all corralled and all this sort of thing, one man and his dog, all that sort of stuff, you know, all that, yes? So we tend to have shepherds, we think of shepherds going from the back, and making sure that there aren't any that have gone astray anywhere. Well, that's important. But people in the Middle East say, why would you do that? Have you not met sheep? They are so mad. Why would you stand at the back and let the sheep make their own mind up about where they're going? That's bonkers. And their tradition is different. The shepherd leads and the sheep follow. And quite often a little boy will be behind just to make sure there aren't any stragglers getting lost. A completely different concept to how we do it. And so that's why we have to make a sort of a click in our minds to understand that a little bit better. Jesus is the good shepherd. We're following in his footsteps. And that's what partly that is all about. We're in the purple season of Advent at the moment, so we're wearing our purple Judah watsits. If it had been the green season, which it was a couple of weeks ago, I would have been wearing this one, because this is my green one, and it's got sheep on it. It's got sheep on it. It's got white sheep and a black sheep as well. Because there's this phrase in English, we talk about the black sheep of the family, which usually means the one that's been a naughty one. Well, in case that's you, like it was probably me, here's good news. Because Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's interested in the sheep, whatever their color, and draw them within to the fold of the good shepherd. So being a follower of the good shepherd, making this fresh start, which we're talking about today, well, how does that change the way that we do things? Because it ought to. How do we live our lives differently? Because if we've made a decision to follow Jesus the Good Shepherd, then it's going to change the way our relationship is with God. And in some cases, it's going to start one in a new way for the first time. In what way are each of us going to make different changes? In what way is Rosie today, and for each of us who's been baptized, going to live out a life that is changed because of our baptism? One of the ways that we would expect people who follow Jesus is to be in touch with God. And there are two key ways that we do that regularly. We do it on the phone. No, not the phone, not really phone. But prayer is the equivalent of our being on the phone with God. And the conversations that go two ways, not just one way, it's not just us coming out with all our list of requests, but it's actually a conversation that goes on two way where God can also speak to us, guide us, lead us, encourage us, and give us a clear sense of what he wants us to do, what he wants us to say. So praying is a key part of what we have to be doing. And also reading God's word. It's kind of like the maker's instruction manual. Because if you get one of those new gadgets in your house, one of the first things you need to do is have a look at that. I mean, you don't always need to look at everything in the manual, because usually if you get a new microwave or something like that, plug it in, press enough buttons, it'll do something. But sometimes you might discover that it could do much more than you ever realized that it could. Like, you might be able to put your food in earlier, go out for the day, and have it on a timer so that it's ready when you come in. Fab! How about that? You might not have discovered that unless you'd opened up the manufacturer's instructions, because it gives so much more depth. You might not know there is so much more about you that you have yet to discover. And actually opening the manufacturer's instructions, and the Bible is a bit like that for us in some ways, helps us to be more fully the people that we have the capacity to be that we don't even know yet. That's really exciting. I used to do that most regularly when I was in a church. At the moment, I'm not really vicar of one church because I've got 65 in the area, so I'm not attached to one particular one at the moment. Instead, though, when I was in a parish where I had primarily one, I would meet with people most mornings for what we used to call morning prayer, or the daily office, sometimes people call it. That's a chance to do some praying together, some reading the Bible together. Other people, they don't do it in church like that. They would do it at home. Just get some Bible notes or something like that, read that. That would be the thing that changes, helps them to change and live out a new life. I was never very good at doing that on my own, which is why I did it with other people. But I'm not in that situation anymore. I had to find a new way of doing it. So the way that I do it now is I've got an app on my phone. And when I'm commuting up to London to the diocesan office, that's what I've got on there. Other people are doing Facebook and doing their emails, and I'm doing morning prayer on my own, and yet not on my own, because it's the same as what everybody else is doing in the country as well. I know there's other people probably on that train doing morning prayer. They may not be with me, but in a way I'm with them doing it in that sort of way. And we need to find ways that suit us at the different stages in our lives, so that we can be on the phone to God in prayer and reading our Bibles, learning more about ourselves and more of Him from them. So we need a fresh start with our Bible study and our praying. And it's like a call to arms for us as we get stuck into those things, because those are the things that will help us to grow in our Christian faith and to be different. And we need a fresh start when we're feeling tired and when we're flagging and when our emotional and spiritual energy has gone right down. Then we need to turn to God's Spirit for a refresher. And God wants His people to be refreshed. Advent's a time of preparation, of waiting and watching, of hope and of anticipation, of looking to the coming of Jesus at Christmas time. There is that looking forward bit about it. But also, God wants His people to be refreshed by living the life of the Spirit as well, being filled with the Spirit, by keeping on being filled with the Spirit. Or if we actually look at the Greek words that Paul wrote when he wrote to Ephesians and wrote that, he says, keep on keeping on being filled with the Spirit. It's a bit like we leak a bit. And so asking for God's Spirit to come and refresh us, to give us a fresh start, is what it's all about. So that's what the fresh start is. It couldn't have involved more. Just as it has for Rosie and for Robin, for each of us, we've got the chance of a fresh start for each one of us. Let our lives never become stale again. Let's take God's offer of a fresh start and jump into it. Jump into it. Jump into all that it could mean for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Jesus we get the opportunity of a fresh start. We pray that You would help us to understand better each day what it means to be a follower of Jesus the Good Shepherd. We pray that You would help us to study Your Word and by Your Spirit to be involved in our prayers, that we may be in touch with You and You with us. And we pray for a refreshing touch of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray for this church, the Good Shepherd, and for St. Peter's. And we pray for the minister here, for Bridget, and for the others who are involved in ministry. We pray that You would touch and fill each person here afresh with Your Holy Spirit. As we see candles lit, may that light light up our lives too. Refresh us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.